Let's come before God in prayer, asking that God's Spirit would work in us, that we would hear his word, and that we would be assured that we belong to Jesus Christ, and that we would understand Jesus Christ more. Let's come before God in prayer. Father, as we open your word, help us to understand it. Help us to see Jesus Christ and him crucified. Father, help us to have an awe of who you are, in the past, of what you have done, but also who you are right now working in us as your people here. Father, bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn our Bibles to 1 John. We're going to read 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and we're going to read all the way to chapter 5, verse 5. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, we'll start. First John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. If anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And our passage for this morning will be these first five verses of chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. This is love for God, to obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the word of God. Well, brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever been in a situation where you're completely vulnerable? I used to be in construction, and I worked with my brother, and we work in drug stores. They're called Shoppers Drug Marts. They're basically your Walgreens or your CVSs. And they'd be open all during the day, so to get more work done, you'd work on them at night, and we work on them kind of 11 o'clock to sometimes 7 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning when they would open again. And one time we were working there in one of the aisles, and we had these two guys come in the store. And they were not coming in the store to help us. They were, this was a little rougher part of the neighborhood that we were working in. And they must have walked by and seen an easy target, rob a drugstore. So they were walking straight toward my brother down one of these aisles, and he didn't know what to do. There's these two guys. There was three of us in the store, though, and these guys just saw my brother. So my brother yells out, Mark, and Mark steps into the aisle, and Mark is, he's a big boy. He's 6'5", like 400 pounds. He steps up beside my brother in front of these two guys, and these guys just, they just turn around and walk straight out. They realize their easy target was not so easy. It's good to have a friend that can stick up for you, especially when you know they can handle it. Well, John is pointing us here that God's love overcomes vulnerability. And that's what I want to catch here. God's love overcomes the world, overcomes sin and evil. And that's how John presents the world. When he uses that word world in his letter here, it's speaking mainly of sin, of evil. So God overcomes the world by making us children of God. And we're going to look at how God overcomes the world here in three ways. First, we're going to look at those loving God's children. Second, those keeping God's commandments. And then third, those keeping the faith. So those loving God's children, those keeping God's commands, and those keeping the faith. And they're all tied together because God has overcome the world. And it's evident in those loving God's children because they are keeping his commands and they're keeping the faith. Faith in the Savior of who has saved us. And we have to keep in mind who John is writing to in this letter. These people have gone through a major church split. There are false teachers going around convincing the church, the people, that Jesus is not God, that he isn't necessary for salvation. And these false teachers have skewed the whole church. They're uncertain about their salvation, and there are people that are hurting them. They're exposed and unsure of everything. So John is assuring them that they are following God's Son, that they have eternal life. He's assuring them that all the broken and sinful world will be overcome. And he does this by reminding them how this was done, how it was done. Sin was overcome by making us his children. And there's a twofold working there. Sin is destroyed, and we're adopted into God's family. And it's really the heart of the gospel, that assurance that we belong to Jesus Christ, that we were God's enemies because of our sin, that we hated God. But God took all of our sin to the cross and wiped it away. He took us to be his children. When we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become members of Christ's body. We become members of the church. And that's what John is assuring this church here. That's what he's assuring us as we read it now. That God has overcome the world by making us his children. That all the brokenness, all the divide in the church is not necessary when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And we see this assurance. We see this in those loving God's children. Those believers are bogged down. They're lost. Where's our salvation, they're saying? What do we believe? Who do we believe? Who do we follow? So what does John do for them? Well, he does two things, actually. First, he tells us who we are. And he's speaking to those loving God's children. And he says these two things. First, he tells us who we are. We are God's children. And secondly, he tells us how to recognize that we are God's children. When you're weighed down, when you're overcome, you tend to look at everything all at once. John is saying, hold on, just remember the basics, right? Remember who you are. Verse 1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. These people believe Jesus is the Christ. So John is saying, you are born of God. Now, maybe you're not used to the Bible. You don't believe Jesus is God, that he has died to deliver us from death. But I would bet you have felt the weight of insignificance, the weight of the world, the bigness of the world. I mean, the world is so big and we're just really small. And we're just subject, really, to the powers that be, the cosmic forces. And I bet that you felt vulnerable. You face things in life and there's nothing you can do. Well, John is showing where to turn when you feel this. Turn to Jesus because he's more powerful than anything you could face in this world, in this life. John is saying, as you submit to Jesus' word, you're in a good place. You are born of God. Your Father is God. And think of what he can do. Stop looking at everything all at once. I mean, when you look at all the problems in your life at once, you look at your finances, your future retirement plans, your health, and you add on to that all of your kids' health, their financial problems, their lives, their struggles. Then you add all the relationship problems that we're having, maybe. It can all be overwhelming. John is just saying, look at who you are first. You believe in Jesus Christ. And as we gather here this morning as God's church, that is why we're gathering here, because we believe in Jesus Christ. And that is what John is writing to. He's writing to the church, likely in Ephesus. Doesn't matter where he's writing to. He's writing to a church. They believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son. That makes you a child of God. Now, if you don't believe in Jesus, this is a call that you would believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the one that can make you God's son, God's daughter. Jesus is the one who scoops you up in his hand. He holds you as you look out at this huge world that you can't control anything. And Jesus is the one who holds you, who grounds you. So believe in him. Well, John then shows how we are to recognize that we are children. Verse 1, everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. If you love the Father, you'll love those that are from him. If you're from God, you'll love the church. And verse 2 gives us assurance of how we know that we love God's children. Verse 2 says, we love God and obey his commandments. So there's a chain there. You can be assured you are God's child, and you know this because you love the church and also because you obey God's commands. It's a circular argument, really, that if you love God, then you'll love his children. If you love God's children, you'll love God. Loving God and loving one another are so connected that they cannot go without one another. It's a circle that goes around and around. Loving God is loving his children. I mean, that breaks down to God's law, right? Of loving God and loving your neighbor. Loving God is loving his children. It's loving God. Same thing. You can't have the one without the other. Now, if you're like me, you don't always do this. You can get annoyed by people. You can get annoyed really by just insignificant things, things that don't matter. We don't get along with everybody naturally. That's sinful nature coming out, though. Maybe this is the same for you. You just don't get along with everybody. There are people in the church that you maybe could say you don't even like. But what's the common thread for everyone in the church? Why are we all gathered here together? We're all gathered here because we believe that we are saved by Jesus Christ, that Jesus' love has been poured upon us. There are things that maybe bug us about someone else. They act a certain way. They don't do this the way that we do it. But when we remember what we are here as the body of Christ, why we are gathered here, how we are gathered here, we're reminded of God's love for his people, God's love for us. And I mean, I think that automatically helps us love one another when we realize who we are and realize what we're gathering here for. We're gathering here because Jesus loves us. He doesn't love the people on the left side over the people on the right side. He loves all of us. How can we not love one another then? And that is a struggle. I'm not denying that that's a struggle, but I'm just trying to help us to deal with that as something that is practical. Well, this brings us to our second point, those keeping God's commands. Remember, John is pointing us to the comfort that the world is overcome. Sin is overcome. But if you live in the same world that I do, you're overcome by the world. Sin around you threatens to destroy you. Also, the sin within you seems to overcome you. Now, John is saying, hold on. Just remember who you are, right? You're God's child. You know this because you love one another. You love the Father. The end of verse 2, you carry out God's commands. But do we carry out God's commands? We know the commands of God, but do we do them? And there's a huge difference in a soldier knowing a command and obeying a command. Now, I know I ought to love God's children, but I don't always do that. So if you're one of these people listening to John, you're overcome and broken. There's the world pressuring you with the lusts of the flesh. There's this sin inside you wanting to give in to the lusts of the flesh. And then there's the devil out there putting further pressure on us from all sides. So what do you do? And if you don't know the Bible, I would dare say that you still feel the weight of your own conscience. Maybe you don't know, maybe you've never read the Bible. But I think you still feel the weight of your own conscience. Do you want to be a better person? Do you want to be a better child? Do you want to be a better friend? Do you want to be a better parent? Do you want to be a better worker? I mean, do you want to be a better person? Day after day, you fail. Maybe it works out for a week or two. You feel really good about yourself, but then you just have a bad day and you're grumpy and you treat people like garbage and you wreck it. Where do you turn when you fail by your own standards of who you want to be? Where do you go? And this is why John turns us to Jesus right off the get-go. Do you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the one promised to save humanity from sin? And John says, this makes us children of God when we believe in him. So there's no better place to turn when you feel failure. We are children of the one who created the universe, the one who has redeemed us from sin. We are loved by God. In verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And I want to step to the side and note two things about that saying, that we keep his commandments. First, God's love is giving us boundaries. The love of God is keeping his commandments. So obeying God's rules is a good thing. Often we think of rules as suppressive, as holding us back. No one can tell me what to do. I'm my own self. I know what's best for me. I've complete authority over my body, over my life, over my property. But really, that's a lie. It's the lie that the world tells us, that we have authority over our bodies, that our bodies are ours so we can decide what to do with them, that our possessions are ours so we can decide what to do with them. It's a lie to say boundaries limit and limit our freedom. We need boundaries. I mean, boundaries keep us safe. We spent a summer in Florida, and there's a lot of alligators in Florida. I believe there's some alligators around there. I think my kids saw one off of one of the coasts, a little baby one. But well, anyway, if there's a baby one, there's bigger ones. But we went to this alligator farm, and there are boundaries there to keep us safe. If there were not boundaries there, I probably wouldn't have gone myself, but I definitely wouldn't have taken my kids, my two-year-old with me. But there's boundaries there so we can enjoy the gators more fully. With all the gates and the walls, I mean, I was still terrified for my kids' safety. Gators are not pleasant-looking beings. They're designed to crush things and to kill things and to tear things apart. Boundaries are there to keep us safe so we can fully enjoy the gators, but then we can be safe doing that. And that's why John says in verse 3 that this is the love of God. His commandments are not burdensome. God is giving us rules for life so that we can enjoy life, because we see that God loves us, protects us, and gives us everything good. God's law isn't burdensome because we follow them, because when we follow them, we're living as he has designed us to live. I mean, you can think about I'm Canadian, I guess, here, and I'm in Canada. There's lots of hockey going on with playoffs right now. If you have a game, any game really, though, you know, soccer or whatever, you have a boundaries that this game is played in, right? And there's rules set for this game. And God has set rules so that game can be fully enjoyed. I mean, if you're playing soccer and somebody kicks the ball out, way out of bounds, and then, well, I'm not obeying that rule, I'm just going to keep playing. Well, it wrecks the game for everybody, right? The game can't be enjoyed. And that's the way God has set his law for us in this life. God has set a law for us to fully enjoy life, so that when we go out of the bounds, we realize that is not how life is meant to be lived. What happens when you are vulnerable and completely exposed, when you're exposed that you have broken the law completely, that you're living in a world that is breaking the law completely, and well, I mean, it's hindering you, it's hurting you. Well, you feel unsafe, you feel scared, and there's a second thing to note about that. That saying that we keep his commandments, right? Because, I mean, when we don't keep his commandments, we realize that, and it can bring us down. The guilt of sin can wear us down and crush us. But that saying that we keep his commandments is that we do keep his commandments. John is saying, if you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that you are God's child, you couldn't be God's child if you were living in sin. Jesus Christ, God's Son, lived the perfect life, not breaking a single commandment. So we keep his commandments because we are clothed with Christ's righteousness. Yes, we still struggle with sin. We still sin. But in Jesus Christ, in God's eyes, we are perfect because we're clothed with Jesus Christ. Verse 3 ends off saying, the commands are not burdensome. And they're not burdensome because he bore the burden for us. Jesus Christ loved his neighbor perfectly, never once speaking poorly behind someone's back, never hurting anyone, even to the point where he was being tried for his life. False witnesses came. They accused him. Jesus never spoke a word against them. He was oppressed. He was smitten. He went up to the cross as a lamb goes up to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin, 1 John 3, verse 5 says. But the world overcame him to the point that he died. And this is God's love, that he laid down his life for us. He lived a perfect life in a sinful world, in a world that was hostile, in a world that was sinful, and he died. And that is where to turn when you are overwhelmed, when you are overcome with daily life, when you're overcome by the wickedness of the world, the wickedness of the people around you, but also when you recognize the wickedness of your own heart, when it appears that sin is snuck even into the church, into those close to you, tearing relationships apart, when you're overwhelmed with the way our government is turning, our country is turning, it feels like Satan is ruling, and you're just a pawn being tossed around, surrounded and vulnerable. This is where you turn. John is pointing us in this letter and saying, turn to Jesus Christ. The world is not easy, no, but we have someone to call out to. We have Jesus Christ to call out to. Christ has overcome the world to the point where he died. And sin is that way. It is crushing. It's unforgiving. And it's, well, it leads to death always. Sin brought death to Adam at the beginning. And now everyone will die because of sin. And yet Jesus' love has come into the world because of that. The love of God is that Jesus rose from the dead. And remember who you are. You're God's child, born of God, made sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. Your older brother, firstborn of the dead. We are those keeping God's commands because we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We've been born of God, clothed in the family clothing. You may look at your heart and see hate and jealousy and envy. But when God the Father looks upon you, he sees perfect righteousness. He sees perfect obedience. He sees those who are keeping God's commandments because Jesus kept those commandments for you. You didn't have to bear the burden because he bore the burden for you. Well, this moves us to our third point now. We overcome the world because we are a new birth through Jesus. We are those keeping the faith. You see, all of this is really, I mean, it's nothing that we have done, right? It's not as though we are actually keeping God's commandments, but we are believing in Jesus Christ that he kept God's commandments for us. So we are keeping the faith in not what we have done, but what Christ has done. Our confidence isn't in how we act. It's in having faith in Jesus that he lived for us. Verse 4, For everyone born of God overcomes the world. We are in the family, made children, co-heirs with Christ. What is it that gives us victory? What is our hope, our confidence in? This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. This is where we find victory over the world, faith. So this is important. And maybe we need a refresher of what faith is. Well, faith involves three things. It has to do with a knowledge, has to do with belief, and it has to do with trust. When you walked in church here, you had a knowledge of what a chair is. And when you walked down the aisle, you had a belief that these blue, cushiony, chair-like things were chairs. And when you sat down, you had to trust that these chairs would do their job, that they would support you. And Tim Keller illustrates this really well, I think, when he talks about, maybe I've used it before, if you're running from a bear and you come to a cliff, the only way to escape this bear is over the cliff, but there's these vines hanging over the edge, and you have to decide which vine to grab. You can examine each vine carefully, say, well, this one is an inch thick, well, this one's an inch and a half thick, well, this one's got a little bit of tear in it, but eventually you have to grab a vine. You have to have faith in the vine that you grab. And once you do that, it doesn't matter how much you trust that vine. You could doubt that vine. I mean, you could narrow it down and say three vines. Well, this one's 10%, this one's 20%, and this one's only 2%. So you really don't have much faith in these vines. I mean, you could have a vine there that you trust 100%, but it really comes down to how strong the vine is. You can trust a vine 100%, but not see this big rip up on the top and it just pulls off. Is the vine strong enough to hold you? Did you grab the right vine? I mean, we look at life and we're faced with all these different religions, right? Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, atheism. I mean, which vine are you going to grab? And then there's Christianity in there. Here John is saying that God's love has overcome the world. Verse 4, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith in taking hold of Jesus Christ, having faith in him. When we take hold of that vine of Jesus Christ, doesn't matter how much we trust that vine. It matters how strong that vine is. And if that vine is Jesus Christ, it is strong, stronger than any other vine. John is saying, we believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God. That is where our faith is. That is the vine you are hanging on to. We're hanging on to the belief that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, that he lived in this world perfectly, that he died for our sin. My brother and I were in a store with two thugs coming in. But Jesus was in a world with literally the whole world against him. I mean, he was captured in the garden. His friends left him, ran away. He was beaten, dragged to a cross, stripped naked, mocked by criminals hanging beside him. He hung there completely vulnerable, completely overwhelmed by a sinful world, completely at the mercy of nobody, completely at the mercy of a merciless world. What does that say? No mercy whatsoever shown to him. And he died. But that is not the end. Jesus rose from the dead and sits at the Father's right hand in heaven on your behalf. Through him, through Jesus, we are made God's children when we put our faith in him. And this is how we are made children. Christ died and he rose again so that we could be brought into God's family. This is also how the world was overcome as well. Christ defeated the devil. We wait for the day when Christ will come again and fully bring about his kingdom. Our faith is where we are victorious because it is nothing that we do, but in everything that Jesus has done. We are victorious because Jesus is victorious. Our faith is that we have someone else that can fight the battle for us. Fight is what we still do now because we can fight, because we have a Spirit of God living in us. There's a reason to fight. There's a real hope. John asks us in verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And it's really a silly question. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Are we saying, if Christians are not victorious, no one is? It's like Paul in Corinthians when he says, if Jesus is not risen from the dead, we're fools, basically. He's saying, if Christians are not victorious, no one is, because the key is that Jesus has won the battle. He has risen from the dead. He is victorious. Jesus calls you to believe in him. Have faith in the life, in the death, and the resurrection of the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And you are his child. You will reap the benefits of eternal life, never being left vulnerable, ever. So what do you do as you go out this week? How do you live as one who is overcoming the world and who is victorious? Because that is what it says. It says, we are overcoming right now in the present tense. We are overcoming the world right now. Well, when we were in that drugstore in the middle of the night with two men coming out, what could we do? This was a while ago. I think my brother was 25. I would have been 15 or 16. I was just helping him out on a reading break or something like that. There's no way we could take those men on. No chance. But we had a choice, and it was a good choice. A big friend, a friend that could handle himself, who was able to help. All we had to do was call out to him. We had a friend that could do what we could not do. All we had to do is call out to him. And that's what we have in Christ. Except Jesus is not just a friend that we call out when we can't handle life. Jesus is connected to us, bound to us as family, begotten of God. He's with us through everything. He's guiding us through everything. Jesus is able to do what we need. As my friend was able to fight for me, Jesus is even more so. Jesus obeyed the commandments of God perfectly. But still he made himself vulnerable, exposed to die for our disobedience so that we could be brought into God. And he now fights for us, defending us, covering us in his righteousness, where he will bring us in eternity in heaven. As we're in that aisle alone, there's a friend that could help. And that is what we do with Jesus. We know he is for us. We know He has already done everything necessary for our salvation. We know that he is powerful enough to defeat sin and death because he's risen from death. We just call on him in faith. When you're overcome by the world, maybe you have friends at school or at work that are pressure you to give into things that you know are wrong. And maybe you feel the weight of your own sin, of your own guilt. Sin is everywhere in this world. It touches every part of our heart. Every motive is tainted with sin. There'll be times when we're overcome and we feel vulnerable. We can be assured of our assurance that we are children of God. We can face the one who has conquered the world, and he equips us through his Spirit working in us. He's equipped us by making us perfectly obedient so that we can say that we know we are God's children with confidence, because it's not in our actions, it's in Jesus' actions. We just call upon Jesus in faith, call upon God in faith, believe that he is our Savior. Just as we call out in that aisle when we need help. We call out to Jesus when we need help, which is always, every morning, every hour. And we are victorious over sin because he is victorious. We can go out with confidence into this world this week, being assured that we are God's children, being assured that we believe the right thing, that our eternal salvation rests in a solid vine, we could say. We've grasped the right vine because we hold on to Scripture, the Bible, to Jesus Christ. If you doubt that question, if you ask, what religion? How do we know that Christianity is true? Well, Christianity can test that test of weight. We can put it against any test and it will pass because it is true. Have confidence in Jesus Christ, in the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name, knowing that he will answer our prayers. We can go out this week knowing that we have him. Let's pray now. Father in heaven, answer our prayers. Answer our prayers. You know that we lack assurance sometimes. You know that we doubt our salvation. You know that we doubt our ability to live in this broken world with sin all around us. Maybe we confess you as Lord and Savior, but we feel the weight of a broken world, and we feel like we are left alone. Lord, we can have confidence that you are with us, that we can call out to you and that you answer us. Lord, give us that assurance. Help us to call out to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.